Greenpeace is best known as a direct action environmental organization that sends rubber rafts full of activists to confront whaling ships, tries to shut down nuclear facilities, and hangs huge banners from skyscrapers denouncing dirty coal and other environmental abuses. But the organization has recently also undertaken campaigns to change corporate behavior, and even collaborated with some companies to achieve mutually desirable goals. In a talk at Yale University School of Forestry and Environmental Studies on April 6, Gerd Leipold, the International Executive Director of Greenpeace, spoke about those campaigns, sometimes targeting and unexpectedly collaborating with corporate giants like Apple, McDonald's, and Coca-Cola. Leipold began volunteering with Greenpeace in Germany in 1980. With a background in physics and a Ph.D. in oceanography, Leipold has helped to better ground the organization in science and is one of the leaders who believes corporations can play a positive role. But he knows that progress can be reversed, as when oil giant British Petroleum turned green, but then, with its exploitation of tar sands oil, recently became dirtier than ever. The following is an excerpt of Leipold's talk at Yale University.
Many of you will know that if we do not achieve an effective agreement at the Copenhagen Climate Conference this December, there's almost no chance that we can prevent the world breaking the 2-degree limit beyond which, as science tells us, our children will face a world in which life will be nastier, shorter, and more brutish. And I think our children don't deserve that. We cannot afford that we do another Kyoto on the climate. Of course, the recession is painful, but I think it will end at some point. But our polluted climate may be about to pass beyond the point of no return. Computing power and use of electronics is one of the fastest growing sources of greenhouse gas pollution. Analysts project the ICT sector will grow its carbon emissions by 6% annually, twice the 3% growth seen in the aviation sector. So we have been running a campaign to remove toxins from the production of goods like televisions and computers and to reduce their power consumption. In 2008, we achieved a major success when Apple conducted a U-turn and went green. You might find that surprising, as the Mac had long been the computer brand of choice for hippies and slightly alternative people. But the reality was that Apple was a holdout against greening its productions, methods, and design. We knew from studying the dynamics of the industry that Apple, along with Sony, were the innovators. The rest were essentially volume box makers who adopted innovations from them. So we picked Apple for a good reason, because it was a strategic target. In the old days, we would have climbed their offices, occupied their factories, perhaps picketed their shops, which we also did, followed Steve Jobs about and accused Apple of being rotten. Instead, we tried something different. We tried to get their consumers on side. And we knew trying to get them to boycott Apple is about as useless and hopeless as you could imagine. So we ran a campaign based on love, the consumers' love of their Mac. The owners themselves exerted the pressure through a website where the name said it all, www.greenmyapple.com. I love my Apple. I wish it came in green. A wonderful example of a campaign where you just have to have the right title and the right audience, and the campaign runs by itself. And now, Apple has changed substantially. It's not perfect, but it's substantially greener. We think we need to get engaged with corporations, because that helps us to engage the whole sector, and it helps to bring solutions to scale. These conversations and cooperation have attractions for a corporation as well, because who talks seldom bites. And once a personal relationship is built, and of course it's good and useful, the depth of criticism can easily be tempered. After our Print Spark campaign in 1995, in which we stopped Shell dumping a gigantic piece of oil industry debris in the Atlantic, a whole new industry sprang into being, corporate social responsibility. And we believe that we had a substantial influence in helping this new industry develop. Shell, then the fifth largest multinational in the world, began to change and invested heavily in renewables. Its leaders said it saw its future as an energy company, not an oil company. We celebrated, and governments and competitors took notice. International law was changed to close the sea dumping loophole for the oil industry, and also BP changed and famously declared itself beyond petroleum. That was then. As I said the other day to an executive of BP, that they obviously have done another rebranding and now BP stands for bigger petroleum again. I think they are making a big mistake. But if they want to be a dinosaur, we should treat them as such. In the end, I would like to call upon you on one thing, and that is to show some intolerance. Not aggression or bigotry, but intolerance. Intolerance of excuses of delay or arguments for putting off action in Copenhagen. Intolerance of those who say not yet or not me. This is for others to take a lead in, or only after the Chinese. Intolerance of those practices and technologies which through actions large and small weigh down that dark veil that is falling over our children's future. In America in particular, you are going to hear a lot about the likely imperfections of a climate deal. But in this case, the perfect is not just likely to be the enemy of the good, but of the future and of our children. If you were thinking of doing something sometime about climate change, at home or at work or in your family, then however old or young you are, do it this year. Bring it forward, do it now. Make it count for Copenhagen. Because this time, the boat is really leaving. Thank you very much.
That was Gerd Leipold of Greenpeace. Contact the group at area code 202-462-1177 or visit their website at greenpeace.org. This segment was recorded and produced by Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus.